Hello, hello, and welcome to Self-Care is Sexy. My name is Chris, and I'll be your host. We are a weekly podcast that's here to generate and share self-care ideas with each other. Last week, I rolled out a fun little gratitude jar DIY project, and I love to see what you guys came up with. One of our listeners, Jamie, shared the amazing jars she made this year as gifts to give away. You guys can check out some of those pictures on Facebook. And if you ended up making one of these fun little guys, make sure you share the pictures with us. Tell us about how this project worked for you. We'd love to hear from you guys. So just shoot me an email. It's Chris, K-R-I-S, at selfcareissexy.com. All right. So for this week's show, I'm sharing an interview that I did with my sister, Jessie Wood. She is a graphic designer who lives in Texas, and she's just got a ton of experience with self-care. She's going to share with us how she just set out with a suitcase and a dream to create a big life. She's going to talk about taking little baby steps in order to make self-care a part of your normal daily routine. And she's also going to share some really good tips, so some great stuff coming up from her. But we'll get to all of that just in a minute. I've got a few quick housekeeping notes I want to get through. So coming up, we've got our monthly Self-Care Sexy brunch at the end of this month. So if you want to come out and hang out with us in person, talk about self-care and check in, make sure you like us on Facebook for all the event details. Also, I want to let you guys know that we do have another passion planner to give away. And if you wouldn't benefit from this great self-care tool, maybe someone on your holiday list will, or somebody you really care about could use this little guy. You can enter the drawing by completing our Self-Care is Sexy passports. These were rolled out back on episode number 25, so check that out. You can see that or any past episodes by visiting our website, www.selfcareissexy.com. And that passion planner we're giving away, it's just this amazing self-care tool. We're just at the start of a brand new year, and these planners can really help you find pockets of time. You know, they're going to help you get organized. It's something I use on a daily basis, and it's so much more than just like a planner, you know. It's a journal. It's a goal-setting tool. I use it for mind mapping. I love this thing. So if you're looking for ways to really make self-care a priority, get to the website, download our passports, start out on some self-care, and then send me in some info for your free passion planner. Last but not least, I want to tell you guys about a very cool episode that's coming up. Normally, I don't give you guys too much of a heads up, but this is an episode I do not want you to miss. We are going to have an amazing human being that I just fell in love with the first time I met him. We're going to have Rashawn Woods on our show. He's an extremely busy guy, so it was super hard to get time down to interview him, and I really want you guys to check this show out. He's going to be talking about his company, Be Free Healing Arts, and he's also going to introduce us to some essential oils, which sounds super self-care and fun. So please stay tuned for that show. It's coming up here shortly. All right, you guys, a few weeks ago, I sat down with one of my personal heroes, someone I look up to and depend on pretty much constantly for advice and help, and she's even helped me with a lot of self-care ideas. So I got a chance to interview my sister, Jessie. And this was a big deal. She's extremely busy and lives all the way in Dallas, Texas. So getting together to record was kind of a big deal. And I'm really excited to share her with you. She's got some great tips and tricks. She tells it like it is. And I just love all of the organic and amazing quotes she comes up. I quote her all the time. So without further ado, please meet my inspiring and talented sister, Jessie Wood.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for agreeing to be on my podcast. I know you have just such a hectic and busy life, so thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yay!
Okay, so please just introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell a little bit about your journey, how you ended up where you are now.
Well, my name is Jessie Wood, and I'm 39 years old, and I live in Dallas area with my boyfriend and my two dogs, and I'm a graphic designer. I've been here for about 16 years, give or take, 15. Whoa. I moved here a month after 9/11.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that. I didn't realize that it was right after 9/11.
Yeah, it was a month after 9/11.
So what made you decide to pick up everything you own and move so far away from your hometown?
9/11 was a big part of it. When you see something that tragic happen and you kind of evaluate and take inventory in your own life, like, what have I done? What do I still want to do? And it was a big prompt for me to say, you know what, there's so much more out there. It's a great big world, and I live in a little tiny town in Washington State, and it just kind of hit me that I had bigger dreams to accomplish, and I felt like a big fish in a little pond, and I thought, now's the time.
Yeah.
Why wait? You know, we aren't promised tomorrow. So I literally packed up everything I owned. I sold what I could and stored the rest. And I moved here with nothing but a single suitcase. That's
Holy
all
cow.
I could take on the plane because they were so strict
about
what you could carry. I literally moved away from everything I knew with nothing but a suitcase and a dream. For real.
Well, clearly it has worked out well for you. So when you came here, what was one of the first big accomplishments or first big things you set out to do?
I enrolled in school.
Yeah.
I went to college, and I'm a graphic designer, and I always knew I wanted to do something with art. I wasn't quite sure what I could do to get paid, but I knew it was in my heart to do it. So I set out to pursue that dream, and I went to art school, and I got my bachelor's degree in graphic design, and I did, you know, freelance jobs whenever I could, and I picked up a graphic design job here and there and just kind of worked my way up from that.
Were you doing anything else during college?
Yeah. I took some part-time jobs. I was bartending. I worked at Starbucks, you know, just anything that had flexible hours to kind of fit around my school schedule. But and then I also started joining in a group called the JCs, which is the United States Junior Chamber of Commerce. And it's a leadership group. And so that really took everything in my life to a different level.
Can you tell us just a little bit, like, for the listeners who don't know what that organization is about, can you just kind of briefly describe what the organization is and sort of what its mission and maybe its purpose?
Briefly? It's such an amazing organization. It's kind of hard to encompass it in such a small amount of time. But it's a community service-based leadership group that's focused on building the young leaders of America. I encourage everyone who's listening to this podcast, please check out to see if there is a local chapter in your area. And they're worldwide. They're all over. So if you're in Australia or Germany or Japan, please, you have JCs there as well. And it's spelled JAYCEES, JCs, and that stands for United States Junior Chamber of Commerce.
And we'll make sure to have a link on the website for the show notes for anyone who's listening who's interested in checking this out. So you get involved in this community organization, and so what was your role, or what did you end up doing with that organization?
I started out mostly as kind of just manpower, because it is a lot of volunteering, and we would do festivals, and we did a lot of things with other groups like the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts and the Rotary and the Lions. We did a lot of community service organization work with them. And so I started out basically just volunteering, and within a matter of years, I was chapter president.
Wow.
And it gave me some amazing opportunities to build my leadership skills and to network and to have fun. I had more fun. I still have fun with JCs, but I've had more fun in my life as a JC than anything else.
You became chapter president.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any accomplishments that you had, or anything that you experienced as president that really stood out?
I actually won the Charles Culp Award, which has not been won by my chapter since 1981. And that's for best president. That's
wow.
For best local president. And I'm competing with amazing people all over the country. I'm talking outstanding, phenomenal citizens to society. And honestly, I didn't think I was going to win. I was
Oh,
you know, I'll try for it. Why not? But I had no idea. And I was very humbled. I was so honored. And I also got my senatorship, which ultimately that was my biggest goal. That's the one that said, I'll know I've made it when I become a senator. And a lot of people don't become senators, and which is the high, it means you're a lifetime member.
Oh, okay.
You get a registered number, and you are a registered senator all around the world in every country. So if I went to Germany right now, they recognize me as a senator. And so I really, that was my aim when I ultimately understood what the senatorship was. And I got mine at 35, when most wow. people don't get theirs until they're in their later 40s, early 50s.
Wow.
And so it's kind of like the Lifetime Achievement Award for JCs. And I was...
You achieved that the same year that you got the best president?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a big year.
Attack.
It was a big
nice
year.
Job.
I cried a lot that year out of joy.
Okay, so you make this incredible life transition coming here to Dallas, knowing no one, correct? You didn't.
I was a live-in nanny for my first job, so because I didn't have to pay rent, I just
smart.
They fed me, and I stayed home with the kid and looked for jobs and did homework.
Awesome, that's a really great plan. So you make this incredible leap. You come to Dallas. You accomplish something that's I don't think our listeners know, and I'd like to point out because it's pretty impressive. You're the first person in our family
mm-hmm.
to graduate, go to, and graduate from college. That's an amazing accomplishment. So you
on both sides.
On both sides, mom and dad's side.
Yeah.
So you accomplish that. You get involved in this incredible community organization where you're helping the world. You do all these wonderful things. You're, you know, for all intent purposes, you're a wife. You're a fur mommy. You've got this incredibly awesome job. And
yeah.
all of these responsibilities. So kind of explain
I
to me.
I really do live a big life.
You have a lot going on,
lady. I have a great big life.
A great big one. Full of tons of
love
stuff.
Love my great big life.
So with all this great big life going on, how do you get self-care in? Or what is self-care to you? Or how is it a part of your life? And how do you define it?
How do I define self-care? I would define self-care as something that only you can do for yourself. You can't do it for me. My boyfriend can't do it. My boss, like all of my friends, nobody can do that for me. It's something I have to do for myself. And I will also be the first one to benefit from it. I won't be the only one to benefit from my self-care, but I'll be the first one to benefit from it. And so I really take it as this is something that nobody else can do for me.
Who else benefits from your self-care other than you?
Everybody, because if I don't, I'm a bitch.
Oh,
and
wow.
so if I don't feel good, everybody knows it. And I kind of wear my emotions on my sleeve. Like I said, I have a big personality, so it's evident either way if I'm happy or not. And self-care is one of those that you can tell I'm not.
Yeah. If it's
not done.
Often.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if it's going off the rails, it's evident to the people around you.
They're like, go to sleep.
That's
like
interesting.
I've heard you say before, sleep looks good on you.
Yeah,
like, thanks.
That's like one of the number one things that people point out when I ask, like, what's an example of self-care? Everyone says sleep. So that kind of brings me to my next question, which is what are some examples of self-care that you utilize in this big, great, big life of yours.
This great, big life of mine demands great, big self-care.
Yeah.
And something that is of utmost priority that I have literally built into my life is bath time. I have fibromyalgia, which is a debilitating disease. It's incurable at this moment, and it is widespread chronic pain. Mm-hmm. And there's so many other things to it. It's headaches, it's blurry vision, it's internal problems, it doesn't dictate my day, but it does give influence to it. I choose to live mind over body, but there's times that the pain wins. And so one thing that happens is pain wins more when I don't self-care. And something that helps me are Epsom salt baths. We built our brand new house. We have an amazing, big, huge house, and I have my own personal bathroom with a tub that I knew before the walls were even up in this house. I had already imagined and forecasted this grand tub where I will take these lavish, relaxing, quiet, spa-like baths. And guess what? That's what I built.
Nice.
I built a gorgeous spa bathroom that anyone that walks into that room feels serenity and calm and serene and relax and breathe. And so I utilize that, and I make myself take... it's not that hard, but you know,
you make it a priority.
Yes, I absolutely do. And, most people who know me know I will set aside Sunday for myself. Like, hey, I food prep, I bathe, I in my bath. I do all of these really great things, but bath time is my ultimate number one. I recommend anybody who is able to try Epsom salt and baking soda. And I also every once in a while will drop organic oils like lavender and peppermint, those, the eucalyptus, and I get the aromatherapy from it. Sometimes I'll have a glass of wine. Sometimes I'll have comedy playing on my Spotify, you know, just things like that. And I also, something else I recommend for anyone who will designate bath time for themselves, I have a little tiny mini gratitude wall in front of me at all times. And so my bathroom is really my happy place. I have a little basket that I have that's got trinkets and mementos from people who love and care about me. And that remind me life is beautiful. So little tchotchkes that look at, that give you a good memory, give you a good feeling. Mm-hmm. I put these things in front of me. So when I'm sitting in my amazing warm bath that smells great, I'm looking up at things that remind me how great my life is, regardless of the circumstances. I know one thing I want when I die, I want my tombstone to say it was all worth it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes it's hard. It sounds like you've done a really great job of setting up boundaries. You've said, you know, Sunday is my day, and no matter what's mm-hmm. going on in your life, no matter what deadlines or obligations that are put upon you, no mm-hmm. matter what, Sunday is yours.
Yep.
That's awesome.
You have to budget your self-care in. It's like money. You know, we all say we don't have enough time. Oh, I don't have enough money. If it's important, you'll find a way. And if it's not, you'll find an excuse. And for a very long time, I didn't build it into my schedule. When I have time, I'll do a pedicure. When I have time, I'll take a nap, blah, blah, blah. Well, I started to realize I wasn't building in that time. So like a budget, if you stopped having a triple grande Starbucks every single day, guess what? You got $200 at the end of the month just from coffee. I do the same with my time. I budget in my me time all day Sunday, pretty much. And another important thing about building it into your schedule is you're not disappointed if you don't do something. So, you know, if I didn't get enough done on Saturday and I say, okay, well, Sunday's my self-care day, and, well, I didn't get the laundry done. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Nope, sorry, that wasn't built into Sunday.
Yeah.
So men do a lot with football. That's their self-care. They say, okay, all day Sunday, I'm going to sit my ass on the couch, watch NFL, have some beer. Well,
it's kind of the same.
I have that same permission. Is to sit and say, okay, well, I'm not going to get anything done on Sunday, and that's okay, and not feel guilty. And after a while, you really won't feel guilty. It's just like anything else, the good or bad that you train yourself to do. It's awkward or new and forced at first.
Yeah.
But after a while, it's part of my routine. Sunday is always my day.
So there's no guilt associated with...
is at first.
At first.
At first, really, because you're, as especially as women, we over... cram our schedules like our purses. They're at least I do. I don't know if anybody else does, but I have bad problems. But so we overbook ourselves, and as women, we're naturally bred to be take care of others before yourself. But even in the most life and death situations, when you're on an airplane, the stewardess says, "Take care of yourself before you take care of others." I can't help you if I can't walk. I can't help you if I can't blah, blah, blah. So we have, and it's not selfish. People, we feel selfish and we feel guilty. I did feel guilty with, I can't just sit on my ass all day Sunday. I've got laundry and cooking and, you know, a to-do list a mile long. And at first you do feel guilty, but after a couple of weeks, then you're like, I freaking deserve this. Like,
yeah, it becomes habit.
Y'all need to be helping me out here. So... yeah, it's...
that's awesome.
It is a transition, but practice makes perfect, yeah, so I take a perfect bath.
Nice. Are there some other examples that come to mind of ways that you get your self-care in?
I am dependent heavily on music.
Yeah.
I have so... music is my medicine for everything. If I'm mad, if I'm sad, if I'm heartbroken, if I'm angry, if I'm... any of these things, I turn to music because I feel like there's nothing that you can say that music can't say better.
Wow.
And so I really like to feel upbeat. I like to be happy. I like to feel good. And so very first thing in the morning, I have a very long drive to work.
Yeah.
A very long drive to work. It's about
Texas is big.
Yeah.
Everything's far away.
Most people don't drive as far as I do to work.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful for my job and I love my job and it's worth it. So, and I use that time, like like I was saying with the coffee, if you want something, you'll find it. And so I have about a 3-hour transit, and most people would just sit and kind of zone out and forget that that's time for something else. So I will either meditate and pray and give gratitude to God and the universe and angels and any entity that I feel has had a part in my life. I'll make phone calls and call people. You know, that's the, I can talk on the phone that time, but I will meditate and pray and then rock out. I will rock out with my sock out. Like, I get the bump going on.
Nice.
And it helps me decompress and it helps me energize. I listen to two other podcasts, and that's when I educate myself as well. So if you're like I am and you drive a really long way, reconsider how you spend your time in the car.
Yeah.
That's a big downtime for me every day, actually. So I get my self-care every day. Just
like
music.
Little bits of it during your commute, but
mm-hmm.
then the full on giving yourself whatever pampering you need is
yeah.
Sunday. That's awesome.
And so it also changed how I feel when I get to work, because, you know, Monday morning you walk in, we all kind of got that walk of shame look, like, let's just get this week over with.
Yeah.
You know, I walk in like, what's up? How was your weekend? How you doing? Hey, you know, and they're just like, this girl's a spaz. But that's because I use that drive time instead of looking at it like, God, I got 3 hours worth of traffic to sit in. I'm like, man, I'm in the club for 3 hours before I even get to work.
Yeah.
Like,
you turn your car
yeah,
into the club.
It is the club.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate all these really great examples. Is there anything else you can think of that comes to mind when you think about little random things that you do that are self-care?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So I have two dogs. And they're amazing little dogs. I have two terriers. One's about 20 pounds. One's about 7 pounds. They're both rescues.
Aww.
And they're just great dogs. But this last dog I have, her name's Ginger, and she's a rescue. She's just the love of my life. She has become, like, I'm fixing to cry. Like, I love this dog so much. I got a tattoo of her, like, after the first year I had her. But she and I have such a special connection because something really great about animals is they have an unconditional love. And any one of your listeners who has pets, whether it's a cat, a dog, you know, any type of animal that you can create a bond with, that's a very important part of my self-care, because when I come home and I've had a really rough day, or there was a traffic this time, you know, I'm kind of drained a little bit and I could use a pick-me-up, and it just feels so good to come home and see, you know, my baby girl is just so happy to see me. And it doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, fat, old, ugly, you know, whatever. They love you unconditionally. And so to just have that, she and I will just wrestle around and play. And I actually plan that into my self-care so much that my dogs expect it. They expect it and they know when it's happening. So I do that on Saturday and Sundays, or any day I get to sleep in, you know, not have to get up to a schedule. I will lay down on the floor and I am just bombarded with kisses and tails and sniffs and licks. And it's just, it feels really good. I can feel it releasing all the tension. I laugh and I build that in. That's the first thing I do after morning routine, brush your teeth, bathroom. I will come out and I lay on the floor and I let my doggies just love on me. And it is so much fun.
And
it's good for them. It's good for them. They feel love. They know when you love them. So I encourage anyone, if you have nothing else to do for yourself, just love on your pet, man.
Yeah.
That'll definitely help you.
And it changes your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It changes your whole mindset
yeah.
for the day. So you've shared these really great examples, and I really appreciate that. One of the things I'd like to try to transition to and talk about now is, you know, we all strive to really do all of the things that you're saying, but I know that we're not perfect.
No.
And so what are the consequences of when your schedule gets away from you and you don't get that self-care that you need? What ends up happening as a result of
that? Happens to all of us. And I think probably what helps me is first to recognize that you're not doing your self-care. And when I don't do self-care the way I need to, first of all, the first indicator that's the for my gauge of not doing enough self-care is physical pain.
Mm-hmm.
Fibromyalgia is kind of helps me to indicate when I'm not doing things right, like not getting enough sleep, not getting enough water, not stretching enough, stressed. And I've become acutely aware of my environment, no matter where I'm at, whether it's in my car, at work, in the shower, anywhere I'm at, I become acutely aware of my surroundings. So, I get really tired. I get really bitchy. If I don't do enough self-care, I start to resent the things that I feel are impeding my time. Like if I have to stay late at work or if Chris needs me to go do something and I'm like, but it's Sunday. Like, this is my day. Yeah. Why do I have to do your thing on my day? And then I'm all mad.
Yeah.
And so, like, I start to resent things that I feel would take the time I would normally save for myself. I start to lose track of things, like thoughts. I'll be thinking about something and lose that train of thought. And
so just being distracted. If you're not in your zone, if you're not taking care of yourself, you find yourself getting easily distracted.
I make bad choices, too. Another thing I didn't mention is that something else I really do for myself is food prep.
Yeah.
Because I know we do get busy. I always try to do something today your future self will thank you for. And one of those things that I'll do is I will spend an entire Saturday and I plan it and I budget the time. On Saturdays all day, I will cook 2 to 3 weeks worth of food ahead of time and put it in the freezer, put it in the fridge, so that during the week when I am really busy, I don't have to worry about cooking. And I'm also a gluten-free vegetarian, and that is also part of my self-care. We have heart disease in our family, and we as a family, as a nation, actually eat a lot of red meat. We eat a lot of these things with a lot of cholesterol, things like that. And so like 5 years ago decided I wanted to take better care of my body and thought that it might help with fibro. And so we stopped eating meat and that was
in Texas.
Yeah.
We're Texans that don't eat meat.
We are like freak shows to people here. They just don't get it. Texas is the barbecue state and they do a good job. But yeah, so being a vegetarian was also a part of self-care. And so fast forward 5 years when I'm still practicing self-care, I think a very important thing is setting yourself up for success in the future. So I'll cook all day on the weekends, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, when I'm busy, I just have to pull it out of the freezer, warm it up, and they're very healthy meals. So that's another part of my self-care. And so to get back to where we were at, what happens if you skip your self-care, if I don't do that cooking ahead of time for my self-care later, when I do need something to eat and I don't have the right time, I will choose bad things. The regret of that is, oh God, I just ate really bad. And you give yourself the self-guilt and then you gain weight and all of the repercussions that come with making that bad decision because you didn't make a better self-care decision ahead of time by saying, I want to feel good next week, so I'm going to prepare healthy food.
So do you have any advice for our listeners out there? Somebody who, you know, is on board and says, yes, Jesse, all of these are fabulous ideas. How do I make them a consistent part of my life? What's a tip or trick that you use to make sure you remember to use your self-care?
I say pick probably a problem you want to solve first. Just do an inventory on your life, on your day-to-day schedule and say, okay, what time do I wake up? What do I do? What do I eat? Get a picture of your real life and put it on paper. Like as an exercise, I am a list maker like nobody's business for anything and everything. And I will make the pros and cons list of everything because it's different when you have visual inventory. You think you know what you have for your life, but when you write it down, that's when you get a full idea of what it is. So write down these things in your life you want to fix and say, okay, if I could only fix one of these things right now, what would it be? And I would start with just one. Don't try to do all of this. Take a bath every day, play with the dogs, meditate in the car, you know, cook. It's a lot. And I worked up to that. It didn't come to me in a day. I've been practicing self-care for a very long time. And people all the time, they tell me, you don't look your age. I'm 39 and people tell me I look like I'm 23.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that. And I think it's because I'm happier because I do practice self-care. So my suggestion would be find the area of your life you want to fix first. Pick something small you can do. It doesn't have to be a monumental big first step. It can baby steps. Practice one self-care thing at a time, like take a bath once a week, once a month. If all you can afford to budget for your time right now, if you're a busy mom, if you're a student that's got an internship that's taken over your life, if you drive as far as I do, then start small, but make a commitment to yourself, you know, and don't be too hard if you mess up, but get back on your feet if you do mess up. If I don't take a bath for 2 weeks, I'm like, look, girl, we doing a bath. Like,
right.
You signed a contract to yourself saying, I want a better life. And the better you treat yourself, the better you can help everyone else. And so I would say start small. Pick one thing. Wait till that becomes an everyday thing before you start a new one.
I love it.
You know, take a bath once a month, once a week. And once that becomes second nature, then pick another one. And then after you know it, it's like juggling. You start out with two, and then before you know it, you got 30. You juggle your hard things, now juggle the good things, you know?
Yeah, apply the same principle.
Yeah, so.
Awesome. That's such great advice. Well, I want to thank you so, so much for taking time out of your incredibly busy schedule.
And in a good way, in a fun way. These are things I want to do. It's not a hard schedule.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jesse, for being on the show. I appreciate all your great advice.
Thank you.
All right, you guys, there you have it. One of the most influential people in my life. I'm so glad to share her with you guys. She is amazing. I love her tremendously, and you can be sure we'll check up with her again real soon. All right, for next week, I'm going to be talking about the ultimate consequence to not getting self-care in and ways you can avoid self-care sabotage. So that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you have a story you'd like to share and you want to be on the show, please email me. It's Kris, K-R-I-S, at selfcareissexy.com. All right, you guys, we have some great content coming your way, so stay tuned. And remember that self-care is sexy. We're giving you permission to put yourself first.